Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening, and let's shake things up with a warning. They are coming. Maybe they're already here. The neo-experts, brainiacs from the worlds of sociology, neuroscience, design, and many other fields. Here's neuroscientist Samuel Wong from Princeton.
What is going to be happening in the next few years is that neuroscientists are going to start addressing more and more complex phenomena and dealing with phenomena at different levels and starting to understand phenomena at one level in terms of the levels, say, immediately below it or immediately above it. And I think that connecting of different levels is something that's going to eventually encompass many kinds of human behavior, including, for instance, disciplines such as psychology.
And psychology means neuroscientists want to crack at politics. Coming up, Sam Wong will take a shot at the 2016 election. Designers are also pushing out of their narrow fields and coming to our world, the real world.
What we're seeing now is this proliferation of different devices that are, you know, moving out from the cell phone and onto our bodies and into the world.
Here are neo-experts Sean Fulmer and David Rose from MIT. They want to crack at designing your home. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Designers, as well as computer scientists, are going to really make a really big impact in the type of technology that we see in the home.
The history of computers has mostly been about efficiency. I think one of the things that's changing is that enchanted objects can be about adding motion and add magic to the fabric of our everyday lives and experiences.
Later this hour, a veteran designer will caution us to look closely at the fashionable promises of visionaries who see only more gadgets in your future. We will also hear from a sociologist whose view of the U.S. criminal justice system is less law and order and more Charles Dickens. But first, can that neuroscientist be a neo-expert in 2016 politics? Why not? We have a neo-candidate, right, in the form of Donald J. Trump.
We're led by a man that either is not tough, not smart, or he's got something else in mind. And the something else in mind, you know, people can't believe it. People cannot be, they cannot believe that President Obama is acting the way he acts and can't even mention the words radical Islamic terrorism. There's something going on. It's inconceivable.
Princeton neuroscientist Sam Wong, now founder of the Princeton Election Consortium. Welcome, Sam. And what are the signs that Trump's candidacy has shaken up that electoral map?
Well, surprisingly, despite all the disruption of the primaries, especially on the Republican side, things are lining up according to familiar divides. Voting patterns across America for the last four presidential elections have been pretty similar, which is why we get to call states red and blue. And things are mostly the same with a few exceptions. So I would say that where Romney was strong, Trump is strong. Where Obama was strong, Hillary Clinton is strong.
And why would that be? The parties have a stronger identity than the candidates?
Well, let's see. So that is approximately the case. So if you look at American voting patterns, looking at the data, the biggest realignment in the last 50 years was going from 1960 to 1964 after Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act. And at that time, there was a bigger realignment where the South was lost to the Democrats. But pretty much people seem to be dividing along partisan lines. The only exceptions to this pattern this year are places where Ted Cruz was strong in the primaries. If you look in a few data points that are a little scanty but are starting to show some hints, it looks like Donald Trump might be actually pretty weak in heartland states like Utah and Kansas, where he lost pretty resoundingly to Ted Cruz.
And in those data points that are kind of tantalizing and surprising in some ways, it's because Donald Trump doesn't have a coherent ideology, which is what the folks in Utah and Kansas expect?
It's hard to know what the reason is. He's really not a standard candidate. And so, for instance, just to pick an example, in Kansas, Mitt Romney won Kansas by, I believe, 18 percentage points 4 years ago. And right now, he, Trump and Clinton are tied with about 20% undecided. So if you look at those numbers, it looks like a possibility is that there are Republicans who are sitting on the fence who would normally always vote Republican, but they just cannot quite bring themselves to vote for someone like Trump and all the baggage he comes with.
You know, what is the possibility that there might be a realignment along the cleavage of jobs and the need for jobs? Certainly in the South, the unemployment rates tend to be higher than in the North and in the West. And it's conceivable that people who are turned off by Donald Trump or who view over the last couple of weeks statements that he's made as just too reckless, you know, to be taken seriously, would vote unwillingly, reluctantly, but nevertheless for a kind of economic pragmatism and go with Hillary Clinton, thinking that at least there would be some sort of economic continuity here.
I certainly think it's possible that some of these southern states could go in a way that we haven't come to expect in the last four elections. And so, for instance, just to pick an example, there has been some polling showing Trump relatively weak in Mississippi. I don't necessarily expect Trump to lose Mississippi, but I think that just the fact that there's weakness there is interesting. Generally, when it comes to realignments, there could be a realignment, I would say, but I think it might be better to think about Trump as being the consequence of a long realignment in which those voters you're talking about with their anxieties have finally found someone to coalesce around. And so, for example, 1960 to 1964 was a big realignment. The South went away from the Democrats. But recall that that year, Barry Goldwater lost quite badly. And so a realignment doesn't mean a win for the other party. It just means that things are shifting around.
So then if we're going to take Donald Trump as Barry Goldwater, a hitting of bottom, which this election could be for the GOP, might mean that there will be some fundamental realignment of voters under the umbrella of, say, even a third party or a replacement party for the GOP as early as, you know, 2024 or 2028, which would time it about the time that 1980 Ronald Reagan ushered in the realignment with the Reagan Revolution.
That's an interesting thought to project that far ahead. I think that
you're a neuroscientist. You can do that.
So I can look ahead. Okay, if I get to project that far ahead, it's quite science fictional. If I get to project that far ahead, then I think that what we saw this year, I think if we just stop and think about it, we really saw the failure of the nominating mechanism of one major political party, where two outsiders, Trump and Cruz, ended up as the final two contenders. And either because of their rules, which allow somebody with less than 50% to get the nomination, 50% of the vote, that is, or because of a disconnect between voters in the Republican Party and elites, something big happened there. And it is an interesting question whether that's going to carry on beyond this year, because one could imagine that I'm not sure about a third party, but, you know, one could imagine maybe some fundamental change in what the Republican Party is. That is something that we could not rule out at this point.
Between now and November, though, can Trump soften up Pennsylvania, or could Hillary soften up Texas?
I would say that, roughly speaking, things are in some key states that we've started to watch over the last few elections are surprisingly close. Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, in April and May polls, were all within 3%. Now, that's data taken before the Democratic nomination started to consolidate and before Bernie Sanders has started to make noises about reconciling. It's before the latest wave of racist and incendiary statements from Donald Trump. So, you know, what will happen? We should watch the June data. If Trump holds up in those states, then probably those are states to watch. If he does not hold up in those states, then we could be in for a not very close election.
Sam Wong is a neuroscientist at Princeton University and a data analyst and founder of the Princeton Election Consortium. Sam, thanks so much.
Thank you.